The Fabulous Free with All Right Now. That is the choice of my guest, Sue Cook, who I'm just about to be speaking to now. But just tell you a little bit about her first. Now, Brain Buzz is an assessment and simple exercise program that was developed by Sue after she did research to help address her own son's dyslexia. Sue's received many awards for the fantastic work she's doing, so I'm really pleased to say that Sue Cook joins me now. Hi, Sue.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So you're a bit of a Free fan, a bit of a rock chick.
I'm
probably.
Afraid I am a bit of a rock chick, yeah.
Well, that's great. You've given us a great song to kick off the show today. Now, I don't know an awful lot about Brain Buzz. I've done a little bit of research, but I've barely scratched the surface, I think. So maybe you could just start by telling us your story and how it led you to develop Brain Buzz.
Okay, well, my story really starts when I was 19 and I had horrific glandular fever, which nearly killed me.
Right.
And you get told that it's a virus, they can't do anything. And there I was, you know, dying and thinking, this is crazy. When I get well, I'm going to find answers for this. So I started researching health when I got well. And when I was 30, I went to university and did a degree in health, specialising in homeopathy, because that had really worked for me when I was in my 20s.
Right. Mm.
And then when my son was born, he was always a bit strange. And when he was 6, he was diagnosed with really severe dyslexia. And you get told when you get a diagnosis like that there's no cure. You have to learn to live with it. And I just thought, nonsense. I can't just believe this.
No.
So I went looking and I discovered neurodevelopment. And I found the most amazing, lovely, gorgeous person over in Oregon who was 82. And she taught me neurodevelopment to help my son. And he got better. And because of my background as a therapist by then, loads of other parents just started asking me for help. And so I couldn't turn them away because I hate to see suffering, which is why I helped my son.
Yeah.
And I couldn't bear to see anyone else suffer either. So, yeah, that turned into my life. So for the last 10 years, I've been rewiring brains.
Okay.
Never predicted any of this. It's so weird how life turns out, isn't it?
Right. And you're not physically rewiring them, I take it. You're not a brain surgeon, obviously.
No, but the brain learns through movement. So it's movement of the body that makes the brain change. So that's why we use exercise to change the brain. Because when you've got things like dyslexia, it's the cranial nerves that aren't working right and retained reflexes. So if you're going to recalibrate what's going on in the brain, then we just start from the beginning and we copy what babies do in utero and
right.
for the first year of life, and we take them through that process and build up the nerves as they should be,
right.
according to the hierarchical processes of the brain. It's really fun.
Okay. Now, if parents suspect that their child may have some form of learning disability, what are the common signs to look out for as they develop?
My son had problems with concentration. He couldn't concentrate on anything for even a second, and that was because he had no eye tracking. And that was when you move your eyes independently of your head, you know, follow an object around a room. He couldn't do that. He'd got no 3D vision. You can't really tell that, but the what will show is that if someone's clumsy and they're falling over, banging into things, they'd seem to be not keeping up with their peers. You suspect something's wrong. They're really fussy eaters. It's all sorts of things like that. And their teachers tell them that they're not doing very well in class. So it's all of those things. And parents are normally pretty intuitive about their children. So if you think that there's something going on, then there could well be.
Right. So yeah. if a parent comes to you, how do you assess a child to produce a diagnosis?
Well, I learned a long time ago, because I've been doing this for 10 years, that the last thing I ever need to be doing is looking like a therapist.
Right.
So when people come in to my clinic, I'm usually wearing black, because if you think about it, a lot of their pupils aren't contracting. They're too big. They've got light coming in, too much light coming in. And so they're very, very light sensitive. So I wear dark colours, speak in a calm, low voice, don't look scary and therapist-y. And then I behave like a half a mad scientist and half a children's entertainer, because you're working with children who are already scared probably of you.
Right.
And so to put them at their ease and make them not think, oh no, somebody's checking me out. We just have lots of fun, and I don't call anything a test. It's all games. So we do a lot of interesting games in the clinic, and they won't even know that they're being tested. The parents will. The parents will be right on it, but the child will just think, oh my God, this is so much fun. I'm having such a good time with Sue. This is brilliant. And but I'm actually checking out their brain to see what isn't working. So I'll be measuring hemispheric dominance. I'll be checking for all sorts of things that won't make a whole lot of sense to parents, but you know, for me to talk about. But when they see it, they'll know, and they'll understand when I checked my son out when he was six, I just couldn't believe nothing was working in his brain. And I thought, how on earth does that child function? He's doing really well considering what's not working.
Right.
And it didn't take long for him to get it all working. It was just amazing. So I screen using simple things to find out how their body reacts to things, get them crawling across the floor and things like that. It's nothing too challenging unless they've got really bad problems, and then you can't screen a child. And then we just use movements to make the brain work properly.
Right. So how does that work? I mean, is there a specific program designed for each individual, and what does it usually consist of?
So what we do is, when I'm screening them to find out what's not working in the brain, I'm really checking for various milestones. So when I'm screening, I'll be able to see whether they were still in utero in their mummy's tummy while their problem occurred, whether it was around birth, whether it was around 3 months old or something like that. So depending on what exercises they do, what tasks they can do successfully when I screen them, I can work out how old they were, and then that gives me the access point into where to start them on the program. There are five main stages that we use to sort out the brain, and these days I tend to start almost everyone off at the beginning, unless their symptoms are really quite mild, because you really want to give their brain the best chance, because they're never going to get this chance again.
Right.
So you might as well. But yeah, so we're repeating the movements that babies naturally do in utero from about 3 months old.
Right. So it's a program of exercise, but
yeah.
I mean, you've treated me royally this morning. You've brought me in some coffee, some lovely chocolates, and some superfoods.
Oh, yeah.
So obviously diet and nutrition play a part.
Oh, yeah? They do. My father had ADHD, and we didn't really understand that back in the 70s, but all we knew was that he'd be knocked out every week with 3 days of migraines.
Right.
And my mum heard a radio show and back in the 70s, and it was Sally Bundy who started the Hyperactive Children's Support Group. And she was saying that foods are a real problem for children with ADHD. So my mum sent off these diet sheets, got them, put us all on an elimination diet. And we worked out from that what Daddy was reacting to.
Right.
And in his case, it was nitrates, which are bacon preservatives, and monosodium glutamate,
okay.
E621.
Yeah.
But during that process, all of us were on an elimination diet for about a year. So we were having things like carob, and we weren't having chicken or oranges or anything like that, which are often allergens. So I grew up being incredibly aware of foods being triggers for people who are sensitive.
Yeah.
But in those days, we didn't get that Dad had ADHD. Until I learned neurodevelopment for my son. So yeah, I've written a book called Nutrition for Special Needs, which is based on 40 years of my experience dealing with people with food intolerances.
Right.
Just amazing what I've learned. Wow.
Well, you know, it seems more and more common nowadays, doesn't it? It must be like a detective story trying to get to the root of what the problem is, because most of our food nowadays is processed and it's got so many additives to it, you know. Is it a case of cutting everything out and then reintroducing things gradually?
No, not really. Yeah. It depends, because after being... all my experience and being a clinician and a therapist for 20 years, you get very good at working out from a short conversation what's going on.
Right.
But if someone's got some really severe problems, then you probably would put them on a caveman diet. Although I have heard people react to these, the things that people don't tend to react to are lamb and pears. So when someone's really sensitive, you literally start them on lamb and pears.
Okay.
And then you reintroduce one food at a time. But I haven't really ever had to do that with people, but I have heard people reacting to lamb and pears. But normally I take most of my patients off gluten, because it's a brain inflammatory, and sugar can be really bad as well. So because I'm working mainly with the special needs arena these days, it's gluten is such a problem for my kids.
Really?
Bless them.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gluten has a massive impact.
Okay. Now, you've got some wonderfully positive testimonials on your website. Can you tell us, obviously without being specific about individuals, but can you give us an idea of some of your success stories?
Oh, it's just been mind-blowing. I had a little one come to me. In fact, he was my first paying customer for neurodevelopment. I'd already been a therapist for 10 years, but after I'd been doing neuro for a while, I thought, you know, I really should start charging for this.
Yeah.
And he's my first little one, and he sat on the floor rocking in the corner, and he'd been drawing dead bodies, and he was six, and he was really not in a great way. He'd been diagnosed with autism and a nervous breakdown at five, and his mum came to me with all her other children and the dog, and I'm still friends with her now. And I just screened him as much as I could, which was quite difficult. And then I gave him the program, and he's just his turnaround was mind-blowing. He's now 15, he's about 6 foot four, and he's just great. And he actually called for me last year, because he grew a foot last year.
Right.
And he called for me and said, "Mummy, I really need Sue again." So they called me over and I went to see them, because I'm really close to them all now. And just needed a little bit of a Sue tonic, back to 100%.
Fantastic.
But yeah, and oh yeah, and the woman who diagnosed the autism and nervous breakdown at 5 saw him again when he was 10, and she said that he was no longer autistic and he was no longer depressed, and that she'd never seen such a turnaround in a child. I mean, how amazing is that? And the mum actually said, "Sue, you're our hero. You saved us."
Yeah.
Just joyous.
Yeah.
Life absolutely doesn't get better than that.
Must be so rewarding for you. And you've won some business awards as well for your work on Brain Buzz. Are you expanding the programme at all?
I've won 5 business awards, across various different arenas, which is just fabulous. But it's because I care. It's because of my why, which is I hate to see suffering.
Yeah.
So I do my absolute best. Expanding, kind of, yeah. I've been training other neurodevelopmentalists for 4 years.
Right.
And I've now just launched the exercise programme, which is called CORE-CR, and that is a program of brain and body exercises for grown-ups, and it's completely cutting edge. Boy, have I researched this. There isn't any other exercise program out there which works your brain as well as your body knowingly.
Right.
Obviously, things like dancing are good for your brain, but it's not targeted or focused. It's the brain component is wild.
Yeah.
Ditto with things like yoga. There is a bit of a brain component, but they don't know that, so they're not targeting it. But what I'm doing, and with, say, Tai Chi a little bit, but with most other exercise, it's not brain focused. The head is static, because it's all about head movement.
Mm.
But when you do core, your memory will improve, your focus will improve, you can get your balance back, your vision resharpened, and it just works everything to make you younger. And look, no bingo wings, you can see.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. Yeah.
And I feel like an 8-year-old. I feel really fit, and I do. This is the only exercise I do, apart from jumping on my trampoline while I do my Facebook Live.
Yeah, well, yes, that's right. I watched you this morning doing that on your trampoline. Very good. I mean, it's well known that there's a connection between exercise and good mental health.
Oh, yeah.
I've looked into this in the past. Nobody seems to know why. But obviously, you've looked into it a lot deeper. So, what do you think the relationship is between exercise and good mental health?
It's fabulous. Well, I did a load of research on exercise and depression a few years ago. And if you Google it, if you just literally type into your search bar exercise and depression, thousands and thousands of stuff comes up, research articles, so people can read about it for themselves. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Moving makes you feel fantastic. And it is pretty much, I think that I'm at liberty to say, it's pretty much a cure for depression.
Mm.
If we're going to use a C word, which is a very dangerous word to use, but it really is phenomenal. And I know people who've had some really severe mental health issues who've got themselves well using movement.
Yeah.
And although it's not the actual mental health aspect that I'm targeting with my core program, it's really about getting the cranial nerves working. Although the side effect is great mental health, so how about that for a bonus?
Indeed,
just great, isn't
it? You don't really need to question it. You
There's
just
no
get,
downside.
Do yeah, yeah,
there really
yeah.
isn't. It's just a joy, and it's accessible.
Fantastic.
Anybody can do it. Whether you're in a wheelchair, whether you're sitting at your desk, you can do bits of stuff to help your brain.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And as well as all this work, you're also a published author, aren't you? We've got one of your books on the table there, Eat for Your Brain, but that's not the only one, is it? Give us a bit of a rundown on what you've written.
Well, I have a lot to say. My first one was Nutrition for Special Needs, which I wrote with Karen Stevenson, one of my gorgeous friends from university, because she's actually a nutritionist and I'm not, and she co-wrote that with me. It's available on Amazon, and that is my story through nutrition and food, and her just making sure all the science is there, because she's got the qualities in that, whereas I'm just a health scientist with, you know, we have our different skills. Eat for Your Brain 2, which is the one that's on the desk. Well, the story of that one, I love this. I was invited to see a patient who'd been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. She was 57.
Right.
And she was no longer able to drive. She couldn't remember proper nouns, so person, place, or thing. She didn't know what taps were for, couldn't work door handles. So I was invited to her house to treat her. And I took all my superfood stuff, I took my homeopathy stuff, I took my neuro brain stuff. And I was sitting in her house for 2 hours, And it was just great. What a gorgeous family. And I just didn't have the information I needed on superfoods. So I went and wrote the book, and that is Eat for Your Brain. And it is a book of symptoms. If I show you over there, look. Can you see that? So you look up the symptoms you've got. So tooth decay or sleep insomnia or neuropathy or obesity, or if you need painkillers, inflammation, loads on cancer. And there's a list of the superfoods you require.
Yeah.
To get you well. And everything in there is research. So everything, if you look at the back, it's all research. There's not a scrap that's made up. It's 100% based on peer-reviewed, placebo-controlled, double-blind trials, because I'm a health scientist.
Right.
It's not wishy-washy, airy-fairy or anything like that. It's all pure science.
Excellent.
And practical, usable.
Okay. All available on Amazon.
Yeah.
So that's the author, Sue Cook, and that particular book is called Eat for Your Brain.
Eat for Your Brain 2 is the second edition.
Okay.
Yeah. And my other favourite book that I've written is called Maximise Your Child's Potential, which is a collection of stuff. So there's stuff on left-handedness, which I am, stuff on dyscalculia, because I was dyscalculic, which I learned along this journey to help my son, and loads of other stories and things on that along the way. It's really useful little work on helping your family.
Yeah, fascinating.
Yeah. Understanding brain stuff, really.
Sure. Oh, well, that's absolutely fascinating, Sue. Thank you for that. Finally, what would you say to parents out there that might be worried about their child's development? What's the first step for them? Where do they go?
Well, usually people go to their, if the baby's very young, to their health visitor, or they might go to their GP, or they might be advised to go to a paediatrician, and things like that, which is the route we took, or an educational psychologist. They will give you a report, costs a lot of money. That's one route you can go down. But what we found when we went down that route was we paid out, I don't know, nearly 600 quid to have a report written about our son. But actually, there's no help at the end of it. Well, nothing really practical, which is why I got into neurodevelopment, because I needed to help my kid. I could not see him growing up like that. Mm. So they can either go down that route, or they can come and see me, talk to me, or find one of the people I've trained in neurodevelopment and get help from us. And we actually do practical stuff to make the brain work as it should.
Okay, well, you better give us some contact details then.
Okay. I have two websites.
Yeah.
One is the Brain Buzz one, and that's got three Zs.
Yes.
www.brain, one word, buzz, brain buzz, three Zs, .com. And the other one for the exercises, classes for grown-ups, is www.core-cr.co.uk. And that's where you can find about the exercise classes. I'm also on Facebook. Join me. My name is Sue Cook. I have the Brain Buzz 3Zs page. I have the Core-CR page. My YouTube channel, I love this, is called Child Brain Whisperer. And there is so much stuff on there. All my Facebook lives, loads of my interviews that I've done with people, and other things on neurodevelopment. So it's a fantastic resource for parents.
Excellent. Well, we'll get this chat up on our website later on today.
Thank you.
And we'll put some of that contact information on there. So it's great to hear about your fascinating work. Thanks very much, Sue Cook. And you're a rock chick. Well, I'm a bit of a funky boy, right? So see if you like this one.
Okay.